So do you want to, or I guess this is my episode, I guess I'll jump in.
Do you have a hook, or are you just diving in this time?
I forgot to type a hook. Okay, but that's okay. That's okay. I can type a hook real quick. Let's see. Or I might, let's see if I can do it off the top of my head. The Paris catacombs are often regarded as one of the world's most haunted locations, complete with the bones of over 6 million individuals. How did these bones get here, and why?
Perfect. Lovely.
See, that's really short. My brain scrambled, like, I gotta pull out one of those facts, and the 6 million was the only thing that stuck in my brain.
That was perfect. All right.
So, welcome back, everybody, to your favorite anthropology podcast, hopefully.
I hope so.
I am your co-host, Ivy.
And I am Tayshia.
And Tayshia, how are you doing right now? What's up? What's going on? We're already in August.
Doing.
This is episode 8 of the podcast, which is wild.
I know. I don't know how, like, I look over, I have one of those like full calendars that like has each month at work, and I'm like, oh, we're already on the second half of the year, like looking into August, and I don't understand how that happened.
It's wild. Actually, technically, we're recording this on July 19th, which I was going to say fun fact, not fun fact. July 19th is the anniversary date of the first of the accused, I think, being officially prosecuted in the Salem witch trials.
Okay.
I know July 19th was 1692 is one of the anniversary dates where it was like, okay, you guys are witches. Actually, I don't think it was the first of the, hold on, this is going to bother me now. Hold on. Well, so for new listeners, I'm going to school right now for an anthropology degree. We're at the nearing the end of the summer semester, and my final research assignment for my English class has been the Salem witch trials. So I've really got Salem on the brain.
I was gonna say, you're too far into it now. Like, none of the facts are like remembering. They're not sticking.
it's too many facts.
July, crowded in there.
July 19th, Sarah Good, Elizabeth Howe, Susanna Martin, and Sarah Wilds, along with Rebecca Nurse, went to trial at this time, and they were found guilty. All five women were executed by hanging on July 19th, 1692. So this was an execution date. Horrific. Very sad. That's a topic that I would love for us to talk at some point about on the podcast. Witch trials, witchcraft accusations, history of humanity's belief in it. I think that's very on topic, but that's not what we're talking about today. Today.
Another episode.
Yep. We are talking about the Paris Catacombs, also known as the original name, I'll talk about this later, is the Paris Municipal Ossuary, also known as the Paris Catacombs, also known as the Empire of Death, which,
ooh,
very ominous. so if we're ready, I think I'll just jump right in, I guess.
Go for it.
In the last episode, I teased the subject a little bit. I mentioned my growing interest in forensic anthropology, the studying of human bones. Since then, actually, so last time I was like, and you all are going to learn just how much I flip-flop. And I'm like, ooh, wait, I want to do this. Ooh, I want to do this. Because since then, I learned about mortuary archaeology, also known as funerary archaeology. And so now I'm convinced, actually, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a mortuary archaeologist.
Yeah, I remember you posting about that, and I was like, oh, I love that the field of anthropology and archaeology keep growing and like finding new niches. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was one I had never heard before. And yeah, it definitely seems like a good fit for all of your interests, to be able to, you know, niche down when you want to and explore other things as well. But yeah, I think that that would be, I'm interested to hear more about it and learn more about it with you.
Yeah. I mean, the basic rundown for anyone listening who's like, what the heck is mortuary or funerary archaeology? And it's basically exactly how it sounds. It's specifically excavations of human burials, the study of the remains, the burial sites themselves, grave goods within them. So it's very much kind of on brand with forensic anthropology, but it's not so much as like, okay, but we're also going to be in a lab, like really analyzing these remains, which I don't know that that's what I want to do. As I talked about in a previous episode, people that are only here for the story and don't care about me at all are like, okay, like let's get to the topic. But
we want you to get to know us.
Yeah.
We want to be personable.
Yeah, God forbid a girl wants to be personable. So that's a little bit more about me, but also why the topic of the Paris Catacombs, I was like, okay, like I really need to talk about this now, because the Paris Catacombs, it kind of ties in with mortuary archaeology in a way. In other words, the dots are connected just enough for me to justify talking about creepy, haunted, bone-filled passages underneath Paris. So, also real quick and some exciting news. I think this is going to be our first two-part episode. I'll see how I'm feeling as we near the end, because my notes got a little bit bonkers. So we might try to split this up into two parts and have the second part just come out later in the month of August. So we'll see how my throat's feeling as I get through this, because I really nerded out on this subject. So let's go back in time, way back in time, very briefly though, because Paris, France, I didn't know this, was actually founded in the 3rd century BC or BCE. So it's been around for a while, and
that's an old place.
Yeah. And over time it grew massively, and like many large crowded cities, it had a system for burials to accommodate the growing populations, as well as times of mass death, usually resulting in war that took place over the centuries, as well as famines, diseases, things like the bubonic plague and outbreaks of tuberculosis, that when they hit a big city and suddenly like a third of your population is dead, bodies have to go somewhere. And to describe this burial system and their cemeteries, I will use the largest burying ground in Paris as an example. It is the Holy Innocents Cemetery, which was in use for over 500 years, which is kind of insane. And what they would do as the city grew and overcrowding, not just in housing, but in where to bury the dead grew, they would bury someone. And after a few years, once they were mostly broken down to dry remains, in other words, they were a skeleton, the grave was dug up, the bones removed, and someone else could be buried there. Another option was burying someone quite deep and then digging a shallower grave over top that one, and another shallower grave over top that one, basically burying the dead in a stack. And of course, there was also mass graves or larger pits where bodies were buried in mass and could be dumped. It isn't ideal, but again, when you have a lot of dead bodies, you have to do something, and you have to do it quick. With a lot of religious beliefs, bodies couldn't just be burned or cremated like they do in some societies. Some people believe that for the soul's ascension, you had to be buried in consecrated grounds, etc. So this was also especially important to do something with the dead and not just have heaping piles of dead bodies around, considering that people in the past had a really strong belief in miasma, which is the idea that sickness spreads through bad smells or contaminated air. So they didn't want rotting bodies laying around stinking up in already stinky Paris. To quote the French writer Louis Sebastian Mercier, something like that. And I quote, cadaverous miasmas threatened to poison the atmosphere. So again, there's this weird idea people have that people of the past were just like stinky, filthy, dirty, but people really did try their best to not be stinky, filthy, dirty, especially with beliefs like miasma. So all of this to say that Paris, over time, they really needed more of a solution of what to do with their dead, especially with the already existing overcrowded cemeteries, some of which, by the way, had bones which would even surface over time. Sometimes these bones, like, they weren't even actual, like, bone yet. There was still tissues and rotten stuff. It was smelly.
Sorry, question. And I don't know if maybe you don't know this or if you'll get to it later. But I was just thinking, like, does the sand, does that flood very often? Was that a problem, like, with the river flooding and the bones coming out that way, kind of like in New Orleans?
I didn't read anything specifically about the river flooding, but I did see that, like, after heavy rains, things would surface, and not great. No one wants that. Also, when you have stuff like that on the surface, animals can get in and start digging things up because they're not very deep. So that's another issue. Mm-hmm. So when brainstorming where they could possibly dig up and start putting bones, trying to get rid of some of these surface remains and tidy things up, they looked below at the pre-existing mines underneath Paris, which had been haphazardly dug out when they were digging for wells in the past. Most of these mines were abandoned. Some even caused cave-ins. It wasn't that uncommon for a business to suddenly collapse because these terribly dug mines were underneath them. So they decided...
What were they mining?
They were digging for wells for water for the most part.
Oh, okay. I was... Coal in Paris?
Yeah, just gold? I don't know. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm just going to ask all these weird questions today, I guess.
We just like show up looking like a couple prospectors ready to start like mining under Paris. So as far as I know, it was mostly water wells and stuff.
Got it.
And they decided to fix up some of these areas. And they were like, you know what? Why don't we turn some of this into an ossuary? So an ossuary, for anyone who doesn't know, is a container or rooms where bones of the dead are held, often in a decorative manner. A really good example, other than the Paris catacombs, if you Google Czech bone chandelier, you will see a literal chandelier made of human bones. It is stunning. It is macabre. And it's held at the Sedlec Ossuary. And I bring this up because when most people reference the Paris catacombs, they're talking about the ossuary part of it. Catacombs are technically, they are an underground cemetery with recesses and tombs for the bones, which were made popular by the Romans. The Paris catacombs are not catacombs. They're tunnels that do have an ossuary, but the name Paris Catacombs stuck. So that's what most people call it. That's what I'm going to call it. I know some people are sticklers for like terminology. In this same field of things, like there's a technical difference between a graveyard, which is usually smaller and connected to a church, and a cemetery, which is larger and usually more secular. Catch me using them interchangeably. Sue me. So let's get back to, I'm just going to keep calling them the Paris catacombs because that's what everybody calls them. If I say like the Paris municipal ossuary, a lot of people don't know about what I'm talking about. So anyways, moving on. The year is 1765 and the Parliament of Paris has condemned church burials for most citizens, declaring that they must instead be buried in new cemeteries outside of city limits. And this was done also in an attempt to clean up new cemeteries or the cemeteries that they did have, particularly, again, in removing the stench of decay that would permeate the ground. I read that especially on hot summer days, you would walk by a Paris cemetery and it would just reek of human decay. And so they were also like, you know what? No one's allowed to be buried here anymore. You have to start using new cemeteries. Go literally anywhere else. And so by 1785, a new project went underway to actually remove bones from the Holy Innocents Cemetery. This was done usually at night by torchlight so that the public wouldn't have to see it. I don't think that this was done because of anything nefarious. I think it was more so out of decency of doing it more in private, in that they were dealing with human remains. I can also imagine people that had their family buried there might be upset seeing their family's remains being removed, but they had to do something. The new ossuary in question was again named the Paris Municipal Ossuary. It was consecrated on April 7th, 1786. And I know that some people have really strong opinions on this. Some people believe that the dead should never be disturbed, should never be removed from their final resting place. Some people believe that the decorative facade of bones that you see not just in the ossuaries underneath Paris, but in other ossuaries, is so disrespectful. How could you just throw them around, turning them into art? And I can kind of see why, but personally, I also don't really see it that way. I don't see it as being wrong or disrespectful in cases like this. And before I list why, I want to give my credentials so no one tries to cancel me, because there are people, especially on TikTok, who have very strong opinions on this. So first and foremost, I am a taphophile at heart. I am someone who deeply loves cemeteries. I spend a lot of time in them. I've been a paid member of local cemeteries. I've taken classes and volunteered for headstone cleaning. I've even worked for cemeteries digitizing burial records so that people can search them online. I do a lot of volunteer work helping to clean them up. All of this to say that I really put my work in with helping cemeteries local to me. And in the time that I've spent doing this, I've made a lot of connections. I've met and talked to a lot of graveyard keepers themselves, and I have learned through them that there's only so much space. It's impossible to never disrupt a single human grave. That's just not really feasible. Eventually, more room is needed. New burial solutions have to be devised. So in the case of the Paris Municipal Ossuary or the Paris Catacombs, when you have local cemeteries so overfilled with burials to the point that it stinks and human remains are surfacing after heavy rains or floods, something needs to be done. And I also find something really beautiful with ossuaries turning bones into something beautiful. And there's a fact that everyone from all walks of life are kind of jumbled up together. It's kind of poetic. The rich, the poor, people from all walks of life are now unmarked and unnamed, but they are together. I found a quote from Dr. Erin Marie Legacy, who is the author of Making Space for the Dead, Catacombs, Cemeteries, and the Reimagining of Paris. They stated about this, and I quote, "The catacombs are a space of equality. You have the bones of nobles next to a pauper, and you can't tell the difference." And I kind of think that's lovely.
Absolutely. I mean, what's more disrespectful? Having a, like you said, your loved one's bones just sitting out, being like thrown in with other stinky, like you said, it's just like a mass stinky pile. And but your loved one's bones are buried somewhere underneath the other bodies, or like beautifully displayed that you can visit. And like, I don't know, like that feels much more respectful, having that continued community and connectedness.
The community aspect is a good way to look at it too. So in the end, the bones of an estimated 6 million people were placed in this ossuary under Paris. And initially they were just kind of being tossed around in heaps, for lack of a better word. But it was in 1809 or 1810, depending on the source, renovations went underway, and this is when the bones were moved into the art that we see today, which includes patterns on the walls formed by arranging bones and skulls in certain ways. Somewhere in the catacombs, there's a heart made of skulls, which is really cute. And there's also areas which contain stone carvings of crosses and scriptures as well. This is also in part because Napoleon Bonaparte, actually, fun fact, he was the one that ordered. So prior to this, they were mostly off limits. Napoleon orders that it be opened as a public tourist attraction. So where visitors could come and not just admire it, but to also mourn the violence of the revolution and related massacres and times of mass death, with people relating to these events, their bones being down here. It very memento mori. And the mid to late 1800s, they also saw a rise in Gothic writings. Think Edgar Allan Poe, Mary Shelley. You know, people just flocked to places like the macabre element alone. Like, it wasn't always just like, I'm going here to reflect on people that passed for the French Revolution. It was sometimes just why people like you and me want to go see the Paris Catacombs someday, because it's just kind of cool to look at and interesting to take in.
Absolutely.
So as impressive as this ossuary, or catacombs as everyone calls it, is, I will note that only a small portion is used as an ossuary. The exact number is 1.5 kilometers of the 300 kilometer tunnels, and I meant to convert that. I think it translates to like 180 something miles. Oh, wow. Is how big the Paris catacombs are. Huge. And only a small portion of that is used for the ossuary. Some people picture the whole dang tunnels are just nothing but bones. It's a lot of bones, but it's not that big of a section. This is kind of fun, though. The rest of the catacombs, a lot of it's off limits because it's dangerous. I'll also talk about that more later. But a lot of it is used by local businesses for storage. People have learned that the dark, damp, cold conditions are ideal for farming certain things like mushrooms.
I was going to say mushrooms.
So, yep, there are mushroom farms in the Paris catacombs, apparently. Huh. Very fun fact. They also acted as bomb shelters during World War II. So there's like sneaky little like underground theaters that people operate out of it, speakeasies and bars, lots of other stuff going on down there. But before you're like, well, I want to go to a little speakeasy in the Paris underground, the risk of getting lost is very real. And the risk of dying when you've gotten lost, being in the pitch black, dehydration, a lack of oxygen is a big risk, or even, again, cave-ins. Again, I cannot emphasize this enough because I don't want people listening to think like, well, I want to go sneak
around. Go enjoy, but do not get lost. No exploring.
Yeah, no, please. And hopefully what I'm talking about next will really hammer this in. The first documented death in the catacombs that we know of due to someone getting lost was a doorkeeper for a hospital. His name was Philibert Espert. In 1793 was the first documented death. So that was before it had even been like rearranged all fancy pants and stuff. It wasn't known why exactly he went down there. Possibly out of curiosity. Some people think maybe he was going to go do something nefarious. I mean, the tunnels in Paris, even before some of it was used as an ossuary, if you're going to do crime, why not go do crime out of the eye of the law, you know? So we don't know. I'm not saying that that's why he was down there. We don't know why. It wasn't until 1804, so 11 years later, that his body was found. And if this isn't sad enough, it is said that he had been just a few feet away from a staircase, which led to an exit when he died. Yeah. As for how they knew it was him, because this was... Sorry if everyone heard the boat horn. I live near water. It's tourist season, so a lot of it is cruise lines. Anyways,
I was just saying, do you get cruise ships up there?
Oh, yes, we do. Ooh. Legions of them. As for how they knew it was him, they were able to identify him because obviously this was long before DNA and forensic means of identifying a body. They confirmed it was him because he did have his hospital key ring and the buttons on his jacket as well as how they identified him as the missing man. And in a weird twist, they did decide to bury him down there. He has his own tomb, which is inscribed with the following: "To the memory of Philibert Espert, lost in the quarry on 3rd November 1793, found 11 years later and buried in the same place on 30th April 1804. So, poor Philibert. And yeah, that was, let's see, they referenced it as a quarry. So yeah, that was before it was being turned into an ossuary. More recently, in 2005, a 19-year-old girl got lost in the catacombs. Some urban explorers, some people call them cataphiles, came across her body in 2007. Or did they? Because this takes me to misinformation on the Paris catacombs. This one was really tricky for me to get to the bottom of. Some online sources say that this girl went missing and died, and her body was found in the Paris catacombs. And by some, I mean a lot. Other sources say it was the Odessa catacombs in Ukraine. Now, as someone with morbid interests, if you couldn't tell, the body definitely looks real. Some people think that this was all faked and staged just to create something for social media. But you can find pictures of the dead body online. And when you look at it, it does look very oily, which can be corpse wax, a name given to a wax-like substance that is formed when a dead body is in anaerobic conditions, so a lack of oxygen. It's also called saponification. It's kind of soapy, waxy substance. Let's see. Oh, I just lost my place in my notes by describing a dead corpse. Throwing me off track. Just nerding out to my weird macabre interests. The catacombs do lack oxygen, so the state of the corpse makes sense. The corpse also looks to be covered in white substance, which looks like mold, that also tracks for the conditions. But I couldn't find anything too definitive. If this was a real dead person, I couldn't find any actual anything credible claiming to it. But you'll see stories like this pop up pretty often of, you know, group of explorers, group of cataphiles come across dead body. And sometimes maybe, yeah, it's true, but a lot of the times it is more generated just for the sake of content. I will also note on the same topic that one of my resources even stated that, and I quote, "Police often find recently deceased bodies, assuming they couldn't find a way out. But when you actually go to look for credible mentions of this in the news or anything concrete, you can't really find anything. They might be trying to scare people out of going down there. Maybe they are. I don't know how things work in regards to public information on stuff like this in Paris. It could be that me being in the U.S. with my U.S. VPN or whatever, like I'm not that technologically inclined. So I don't know if me being in a different country is limiting what I have access to. More recently, in 2017, there had been two teenagers who did get lost in the catacombs for 3 days who were found with search teams complete with rescue dogs. So again, if anyone listening still hasn't caught on, like people do still actually get lost down there. People got to send dogs down there to try and find you. Don't sneak around down there. There are local guides that run their own sneaky little back alley tours down there. And even then, it's just so dangerous. I personally advise that you not do it. Today, most of the catacombs, staggering. Oh, here's the number, 186 miles. Most of it is off limits. Something else kind of fun, though, about the catacombs is that there are artist installations down there, some of them being very creepy. There are faces that have been carved into the walls that look like they're coming out of it. So very haunting. Ooh. There's one particularly scary sculpture of like a full-sized human like coming out of the wall. I can only imagine like wandering around in the dark and you come across this. And I think most of these installations are also being done by sneaky, sneaky people, not really doing it legally. Again, I don't condone it, but do I kind of appreciate some of the creepy pictures? Yes, I do. But don't go down there. Just look at the pictures. Just Google it. There is one popular area for some of these sneaky little tourists. It is called the Bone Throne. And I don't believe the Bone Throne. It's what it sounds like. It's a throne made of bones. I don't believe it was made by the initial makers of the ossuary. People that sneak around down there are known to steal bones and make their own bone sculptures. I don't really vibe with that. I kind of do see that as disrespectful because I think intent really matters when it comes to handling human remains. This kind of circles back to the topic of ethics of creating ossuaries like this that I was talking about earlier. I think that there's limits. People that sneak around down there, there's a lot of photo shoots people go down there to do on the Bone Throne. A lot of the times it's very like gothy vibes. There was one woman, I'm not going to call out by name, but she did a photo shoot down there not only sitting on the Bone Throne, like putting her actual tushy on real human remains, but she posed with her foot on top of a skull on the ground. And that just also rubs me the wrong way because you may damage it, you may break it. That belonged to a real human. Show some respect. So while, again, I do think that the removal of human remains for the health of a city or for city expansion is a necessity, I believe that ossuaries are a practical and respectful way of transplanting so many bones. Again, these are still people. The bones are still deserving of respect and conservation. And sitting on them and using them as props like that isn't the correct way to appreciate the Paris catacombs, if you ask me. Tayshia, do you have any thoughts?
I'm looking at that picture right now.
Okay, and like it is kind of easy to find. And I don't want to like stir the pot. I don't want to
say. It doesn't say who it is. Like, I just, it was like a YouTube was like the link that it.
Okay.
Like, so, I mean, I have no idea who this person is. I mean, but yeah, like it.
I can genuinely see the appeal. Like a bone throne is cool.
I understand the idea of it, but I feel like, yeah, maybe create this in a studio, you know, like.
Yeah, use fake bones or, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think people's hineys should be on remains. And this is also just coming from a conservation side of things, like. Everything looks so nice down there for a reason because a lot of it is untouched and taken care of. I get that, like, some of these bones, it's like, well, these are in an off-limits area anyways. They're all just sitting around, but still show them some respect. I don't want to send any hate to that person at all. Don't go try to, like, find them. I was hesitant to bring this up, but it was a really good example of where I think you can cross a line when it comes to how to approach something like the removal of human remains and using them in a setting like this. So I think that's a good note to end on, also because our listeners don't know this, but this whole recording has been really cursed. If it sounds all over the place and stitched together, that's because the platform we're recording this on literally just keeps, for like no good reason, stopping the recording. We have to save it. We have to jump back in. We've had to do it like 3 times now. So I'm kind of like, okay, getting through my notes. I hope I didn't upset the ghosts of the Paris catacombs. Maybe they're the ones doing this. I don't know, but I think I'm gonna call this good for part one. Stay tuned for part two, where I will be talking about the paranormal side of the catacombs and also their influence on fiction and pop culture. So this whole part one was a here's the history rundown, part two. Oh my goodness, you guys truly have no idea how difficult and cursed this episode was to record. The audio cut out entirely again, so I told Tayshia I will just record an outro by myself as I am doing right now. So please, whatever witch put out a hex on the podcast, lift it by the next recording. Thank you. Actually, I do recall the entire week that we recorded that episode being full of bad luck as multiple planets were in retrograde. See, I can't even say it right. I don't fully understand a lot of the planetary stuff. Maybe I'll just blame it on that. Anyways, tune in later this month for a part two all about the stranger side of the catacombs, the paranormal, and just some other gruesome facts I learned in the meantime. For example, allegedly, people made candles out of the aforementioned corpse wax, which was discussed in this episode, not from that apparent body allegedly found in the catacombs. But yeah, that's something I'm going to look into a little bit further. There's a fun little teaser for ya. Corpse wax candles. Who wouldn't want one? You know the drill. All sources used are linked below. Find us on Instagram, Substack, or Facebook. Yada yada. We will see you next time. But I guess we won't really see you because we're a podcast. I'll go now. Bye!